His name is Peter Baldwin, and he's the founder of Bird Dogs Shorts. You've probably seen him on Shark Tank, where Mark Cuban obliterated his pitch. Look, Mark, he'll admit it. The invention of the first ever stretch khaki shorts that feel amazing, look amazing, and can wear literally anywhere wasn't his best idea. But he's got more, like Dog Trader. Just like Auto Trader, but you can sell your old dog. Eh? Mark, I know you'd invest if you just gave him one more shot. So go to birddogs.com/radio and join the 2 million men who think Bird Dogs shorts are a great idea. Or DM Mark Cuban and tell him to give Peter one more shot.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
Did you know we are just over 40 days? 40 days and 40 nights from the start of the NFL season. And I do not mean preseason games. I mean the actual kickoff to the 2023 NFL season. So get your summer on while you can. Even now, though, the other boys of summer are threatening to take away what's left of the summertime. It's all right. They're having fun. They're at training camp. We're having fun. We're enjoying these last 40 plus days until we got to get serious again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We can't miss you, football, if you never go away. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm just going with it. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Don't love training camp for one reason, and that is because there are very often injuries that take guys out for an entire year, or at the very least, injuries that set them back as they try to get ready for the season. But this is not the type of injury that you would expect. A guy getting taken out for a year because of a jet skiing accident.
Temperatures around 35 degrees here this afternoon as Folk puts his foot into the ball. It's going to be short. Fielded at the 4 by Hines. Coming straight up the middle to the 20. Cuts it back at the 25. He's got an alley down the right sideline to the 40. 50. Down to the 40. 35. 30. 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. Nyheim Hines. 96 yards. Run as fast as you can. You're not catching Hines. He's your end zone man. Buffalo on the board with the first play from scrimmage.
Who could forget that moment in Orchard Park, New York? End of last regular season, first game after Damar Hamlin had to be resuscitated on the field. Nyheim Hines takes not one but two kicks back for touchdowns. That's John Murphy on Bills Radio. I still get chills listening to it. Well, Nyheim Hines is out for the year. We find out Monday. He was sitting on a jet ski, sitting there minding his own business, and another jet ski runs into him. And so he sustained some pretty serious injuries, including an ACL injury that will require surgery at some point. And so this is, it's devastating for him. What impact will it have on the Bills? Well, that is the question for Sal Capaccio, who is the Bills beat and sideline reporter, part of our Buffalo affiliate, WGR. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. And Sal, this is an injury that we'll have to talk about, and we'll kind of look at the impacts for the Bills. But I know you're getting set to cover training camp. Bills are all congregating in the next 48 hours, and the media will have a chance to see them. What's your attitude and your outlook as you get ready for camp?
Well, look, I still think the Bills are one of the top teams in the NFL. I mean, even Vegas odds say so, right? They are one of the betting favorites to win the Super Bowl. Now, they're not the favorite like they were last year. And I think that's kind of the difference here, Amy, where they're not really as much the hunted as much as they become a little bit of the hunter. But a lot of people are counting them out. I'm reading preview after preview of they've taken a step back and the window is closed. That's not true. As long as they have Josh Allen, the window's open, and Josh Allen's still young. He's just entering his second contract. They still have a fantastic roster. They have a very hard schedule, and the division has improved. There's no doubt. But I expect this team to be right back in the same situation they were last year and the year before, which is contending for an AFC championship.
We find out about the Nyheim Hines injury. Gosh, that just stinks and going to be out for the season. How does this impact the team?
First of all, Nyheim Hines, great guy. Really good locker room presence. One of the reasons they traded for him last year is because I think they really, you know, they knew how much he brought, how much juice he brought to the locker room, the energy he has, and he really does. And obviously it didn't work out as far as putting on offense as much as they wanted last year, but they really found a really good return man. And he was going to be, that's his role this year. He was going to be their main punt and return man, punt and kick return man. So that's what they're going to lose. They're going to lose that main guy. They're going to have to replace him. It doesn't really impact the offense that much. Now, he might have been sprinkled in here or there for, you know, some sort of gadget play or a game plan situation, but he wasn't going to be taking carries really away from James Cook or Damian Harris, and they also have Latavius Murray on the roster. This is really all about the return game, what he gave them. We all saw the week after DeMar Hamlin went down and that opening kickoff against the New England Patriots. I mean, literally, I'm on the field, and there's tears flowing. People are crying, right, because of how special that was. Then he has another one later. They're going to lose that. But, you know, there's also new rules with the kickoffs this year. And I don't think, as far as the kickoffs are concerned, it's as big of a deal. But punt returns it is. But they have in-house candidates. In fact, Amy, they signed Deontay Hardy this year to play wide receiver. But the guy was a first-team All-Pro punt returner just in 2019. So, I mean, they can do that. Khalil Shakir can do it. Micah Hyde can do it if they want him to because, you know, he's more of a guy that makes sure he's really secure back there and everything. But it's a blow anytime you lose a good player that can help your roster, especially when you're a team with Super Bowl aspirations.
Thinking about their running back core, they've done some shuffling. There's been so much talk about not wanting Josh Allen to be running the ball as much. Not that they want to take it out of his playbook, but he would prefer to not be taking quite as many hits. So what do you think of their running back room as currently constituted?
It doesn't really – I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, I should say. I'm going to stop myself. Not to say it doesn't matter who the Bills have at running back. Of course it matters, but they're not a team that's going to funnel their offense through the running back. We know that. They're going to do it with Josh Allen. They're going to throw the ball a lot. They're going to be a very heavy, pass-heavy team, and Josh is going to factor into the running game. But, yes, the point you make is right, which is every year we hear this, and Sean McDermott even said at the owners' meetings, he said, hey, as long as Josh Allen's the quarterback and I'm the coach, I'm always going to be telling you how we don't want him to take those unnecessary hits. This is just going to happen every year. But we all know also that that's just in Josh's DNA, that he's going to go out there and he's going to fight for every yard. He's going to run over a linebacker and run around and, you know, jump over one or something like that. But in the meantime, they have James Cook and Damian Harris, who I think are clearly 1-2. And there is a debate here on who will be number one. I don't think it's much of a debate. I think this is James Cook's backfield. I think that Damian Harris is a backup to him, but a fine player who will get his carries, who will be a nice complement. I look at it this way, Amy. Last year, it was Devin Singletary, James Cook. But the Bills, even though Devin Singletary was the number one back, he still only carried the ball like 165, 170 times.
Right.
30th in the NFL. I think that's James Cook's role this year. He'll be the number one back on the Bills, but a number one back on the Bills isn't like a number one back everywhere else. Number one back of the Bills is a guy that really only gets maybe the 30th most carries in the NFL like last year. And then Damian Harris comes in as the second guy. And then they have Latavius Murray. They signed with a nice year last year. And I think that's the guy that probably benefits the most here, unfortunately, from Nyheim Hines' injury, that he probably has a secure roster spot now to be that, you know, that back and short yardage situations, but now they have a spot for him.
We're always excited to have Sal Capaccio on the show, covers the Bills. Their sideline reporter has Always Game Day in Buffalo, which is such a cool name for the podcast. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The infusion for the defense in the form of Von Miller, how much does that matter to get this guy back into the flow of their defense?
It matters immensely. When he went out last year on Thanksgiving, the pass rush simply was, I could say non-existent, but there was a steep, steep drop-off. And the difference he made being on the field was immense for a few reasons. Number one, guys like Ed Oliver and Greg Rousseau were really having good years because teams couldn't focus on them. They had to focus on Von Miller. And number two, the Bills didn't have to blitz that much because Von Miller was so good at getting the passer and other people then benefited from that and they could get home with four. once he went out, they had to start blitzing a lot more. You saw Matt Milano blitz. You saw Tremaine Edmonds blitz. Guys coming off out of the secondary. And the Bills don't want to do that. They don't want to be blitzing like that. They want to get home with four. So that's immense. But we don't know Von Miller's going to be ready week one or week two. I think the signing of Leonard Floyd is a real good indication that they're protecting themselves against having to play Von Miller early. Even if Von is healthy enough to play, I think the Bills have to protect him from himself and say, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And I think that Leonard Floyd signing is really big. I mean, this is a guy, I think he's had the fourth most sacks over the last 3 years in the NFL. He's had like 29 sacks, I think, in the last 3 years, which is a really good number. I think that's a really interesting signing because he can at least help you bridge the gap to when Von Miller is actually playing full time again. And when Von comes back, now you had Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, and Gregory Rousseau off the edge. And I think that's just going to be a huge, huge deal for the Bills to get back to that kind of pass rush.
One of the things that stands out at me as I look at the defensive names and think about their D is the number of veteran guys who are also strong voices in the locker room and great leaders, like Micah Hyde, like Jordan Poyer, of course, Von Miller as well. They've got some guys who can really drive this team forward, along with the members of the offense that also have been there for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. And they had a lot of injuries last year. You know, this is one of the healthiest teams in the NFL. For like three straight years, that wasn't the case last year. Tre'Davious White was out pretty much most of the year because of the previous year's injury, the ACL, and him recovering. Von Miller then gets hurt on Thanksgiving, just like Tre'Davious did the year before. He's out. Micah Hyde got hurt in week two. He was out for the year. Jordan Poyer was in and out of the lineup the rest of the year. He missed like 3-4 games. Gabe Davis hurts his ankle in week two before the game during practice. He's not the same the whole year. Clearly, he was bothered the whole year, never got back to 100%. Same thing with Ed Oliver. But, you know, now you're going to see, hopefully, a much healthier Buffalo Bills team, at least to start the year. And getting Micah Hyde back is just a huge, huge, you know, difference for this team for what it was last year. And Jordan Poyer, I mean, we were all surprised when he re-signed with the Bills. He went to free agency. He didn't get the kind of offers he wanted. He knew that he'd come back to Buffalo, still be a really big player, an important player, have a chance for a Super Bowl. He's going to play with Micah Hyde again. So getting those two guys back, I mean, what a difference. And then they go out and sign Taylor Rapp, a third safety. And I think Taylor Rapp's going to have a real big role on this team. We'll see what he does. I think the big storyline really on the defense this year, though, Amy, is Sean McDermott is the play caller now. Mm. No longer Leslie Frazier. What kind of wrinkles does he have? Does he start going more to a three safety look? Does he take the nickel corner off the field once in a while? Do they play three linebackers? I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that looks this year.
Sal Capaccio is with us getting set for Bills training camp. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Just seeing DeMar Hamlin, thinking about him back on a football field at training camp with his guys after everything that happened. It gives me joy. It inspires me. What is the role for him? What are the expectations for him in returning to the Bills and actually being cleared to play football?
Well, he is cleared. He's been cleared by the Buffalo Bills and their doctors and every specialist he's seen. He's on the active roster. He's expected to walk out in training camp and practice like everybody else on Wednesday when they start at St. John Fisher University. He did not do everything during OTAs, mini camp, but he was on the field by the end and pretty much doing everything over the last couple of days, taking team reps. Then that's when they told us basically, yep, he's cleared. He can do all this stuff. So there's no list for him to be on. Like, he's not going to be on NFI or PUP or anything like that. He is playing. He is on the 90-man roster, and he has he's not a lock to make the 53, but he's pretty certain to make it because I just talked about Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Taylor Rapp. Those are your top three safeties. They're Jordan and Micah. Their numbers 1 and 2, and then there's a gap, Taylor Rapp number 3. Then there's a gap, and it's going to be DeMar Hamlin number 4. Then there's another gap. I think DeMar Hamlin has that 4th safety spot. I think it would be a real big upset if he didn't win it this year. Short of injury or anything else happening. Hopefully he stays as healthy as he has been and being cleared and all of that. The next guys on the list are Dean Marlowe, Jared Maiden, and Zane Anderson. I don't see any of them beating him out. And here's the other point of this, Amy. If, let's just say, it comes down to, boy, it's 50-50. Do we keep DeMar, who's a really good special teams player, by the way, and he'll, you know, play that role. That's what his role is going to be in being a backup safety. But if it comes down to, boy, do we keep DeMar or do we keep, you know, Dean Marlowe? It's real close. Keep DeMar, keep a guy from another position. I just can't see this organization not keeping DeMar Hamlin, what he means to the inspiration of that locker room, what he means to those players. I think it would be, the Bills think about stuff like that. I think they know that, hey, if it's close, and we move on from DeMar Hamlin, that's not going to go over well in our locker room for how much these guys appreciate everything that he's gone through and what he's done to be here. So I think that even helps him in his case to be on this team.
You remember vividly, I'm sure, what happened on January 2nd in Cincinnati. What does it mean to you that he's back out there playing football again?
Well, it means a lot to me as a person not only who covers this game professionally, but I played high school football growing up. I've been a broadcaster in this game. I've coached the game at the high school level. I love this game. I love the grassroots part of this game. And I understand a lot of the risks that go along with the game. Of course, nobody expects anything like that to happen. But for many, many years, you know, we've been hearing more and more about all the different kinds of things of football, why people shouldn't play. And for someone like DeMar Hamlin to go through what he did to play because of how great the game is to him, what the game has given him in life, that speaks to someone like me. I'm a guy that believes that at the grassroots level, this is the greatest game. It's the only game where you can really throw that many people into one locker room from all these different socioeconomic backgrounds and religious backgrounds and everything and learn to play as a team and understand what it's like to be with your brothers in that locker room from all different places and races and things like that. And I think, you know, that's a big reason why DeMar Hamlin is still playing. To advance this game, people like me, anybody else, we need to recognize the risks of this game and things that can happen. But it's also incumbent upon us to make the game as safe as possible. And I think that, number one, is truly, you know, something that speaks to me about DeMar Hamlin. But the other thing is, aside from football, Amy, I love the fact that he has become an agent of change.
Yes.
This is a man that has spent the last 6 months, essentially, especially the last two, going around the country and promoting AEDs and CPR training for people, especially for youth sports, because they are so underfunded and so underavailable around the country. And DeMar has been at the forefront of doing that. He's at the Hope Weeks for all these baseball games. He's in Pittsburgh throwing out the first pitch. He's at Yankee Stadium throwing out the first pitch. He's at all these American Cancer Society events. This is a guy that truly, not only in his words, but also in his actions, is being an agent for change in the forefront facing person for this, that's saying, let's go do this and make this happen. Look what it did for me in my life.
Truly an inspiration in so many ways, seeing him at the ESPYs on stage with the Buffalo Bills athletic training staff and the medical staff, because it's clear that a bond has formed there. Not only does he get their encouragement, but he is an example of what their profession can do and why they work so hard at it. Sal Capaccio is with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. All right, so I've saved the fun stuff for last. Josh Allen, what is the standard for him going into 2023, Sal?
Well, look, he has already been an MVP candidate, finished, what, second and then third. And, you know, I mean, that's a high bar to clear. I heard someone say earlier this offseason, well, maybe Josh Allen has hit his ceiling. And I'm like, well, that's okay, because that ceiling's pretty damn high. I mean, what? I don't know how much higher you want him to go, right? I mean, it'd be great if he could be even better than that, but he's as good as you can be in this league, basically. He's one of the best quarterbacks at this point, statistically, who's ever played the game. He statistically, I believe, Amy, actually is like one of the greatest playoff quarterbacks ever for how well he's played once he's got to the postseason. He's only been in the league 5 years. But, you know, that said, there are some things that he can improve on. There always are. And the turnover has been an issue. We know that. But you also don't want to take away letting Josh be Josh, like we talked about running. He's going to be a guy that's going to sometimes take risks, and sometimes those risks are going to backfire on you. But I'd rather see him do that, because a lot of times those risks are going to turn into touchdowns and turn into wild plays. The standard is for Josh Allen to lead this team back to where they were last year and then even beyond. That's the standard. That's the standard he puts on himself. That's the standard this entire city's putting on him. There's a lot of pressure, but, you know, Josh has handled it so perfectly every step of the way. I expect nothing less from him this year than to go out there and do what he's done the last few years. And, you know, one thing about Josh, people talk about the way he plays and, you know, can he stay healthy? He started 71 straight games. That is the longest active streak of any quarterback in the National Football League currently. Like, this guy is a gamer, he's a baller, and he's going to be there for his football team.
All right. I'm sheepishly asking this, but I feel like I wouldn't be doing my job if I at least didn't bring it up. Anything at all that we should be concerned about with Stephon Diggs?
Well, it's a good question, because until we hear from Stephon Diggs, we don't fully know the answer to that. So don't worry about it. You can ask it all you want, because we're asking that here in Buffalo. Because, you know, when we get to training camp on Wednesday, what typically happens is we hear from Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean on day one. And then usually Josh Allen after practice day one, or before practice day two, or after practice day two. It's within the first 2 days. And we usually hear from Stephon Diggs, whoever the big names are, like That usually happens. And we have not heard from Stephon Diggs at all during minicamp or OTAs. And that's fine. He doesn't have to talk. But he needs to talk for the simple fact of what you just said. Once he does, we don't ask those questions anymore. Once he does, it's over. It's not a distraction. We just need to hear him say everything's okay. But until he does that, we really kind of don't know. Now, he's going to be there. There's no reason to believe he won't be at, you know, training camp and doing what he's expected to do and being on the field. The question is, when does he talk to the media? If he does, he's got to at some point. What does he say? Because I think just for the benefit of everyone, fans, media, the football team, Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen, just talk, get it out of the way, and let's move on.
Ah, so much fun. I can't believe that it's actually training camps, even though it's still July. But yes, the dog days of summer mean football as well. And Sal Capaccio is about to get busy. You can find him on Twitter at Sal Sports. He's the Bills beat and sideline reporter. You can hear him on our Buffalo affiliate, WGR. AM 550 doing the Extra Point show, and then the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. Do you ever take an hour off during the season?
Oh, not even in the off season, man. You can never do that, right? I mean, it's that's what keeps us busy. I always say, like, and not to obviously compare our professions to the people in the medical field, but I always say, like, in the off season, it's like being a doctor on call. Like today, I mean, Nyheim Hines injury, right? Bam, you got to go to work. You got to figure it out. You got to find out what's happening. At least during the season, as busy as we are, Amy, it's routine. I know exactly what to expect every Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday.
Well, we're always glad to have you. I'm sure we'll catch up with you again during the season. Thanks, Sal. It's good to talk to you.
Anytime, Amy. Thank you.
I had to ask. I had to. Jay told me, hey, we could talk to Sal about the Diggs injury. I'm sorry, the Diggs drama. I think that was the word you used, right? Diggs drama.
Yeah.
The Hines injury, the Diggs drama. And I said, no way. That's not a thing anymore. But then, of course, as the conversation goes on, I'm thinking, am I not doing my job if I don't bring up Diggs? At least I didn't use the word drama. At least there's that.
It's not a thing, like he said.
Oh, well, don't tell Josh Allen that or Sean McDermott, because to them it's not a thing. But until we hear it from the man himself, it might still be a thing. At least enough of a thing to ask about. But I was very sheepish in asking. Coming up, of all people, Devontae Adams has some advice for Josh Jacobs and other running backs, as is the case right now, who are navigating the business side of the NFL with maybe not as much success as they would like. Speaking of business, Austin Rivers, he might be alone on his island when it comes to the NBA, where everyone plays with his BFF. Wow. I'm so glad producer Jay found this audio from Austin, because it is revelatory. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or whatever it is, and then also on our Facebook page. We're glad to have you with us. Get Behind Me Monday. Heading full speed ahead to a Tuesday, a terrific Tuesday. But I already had my tacos on Monday, so it can't be a Taco Tuesday. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Being a baseball play-by-play broadcaster demands a blend of learned mechanics, intense preparation, and a calm sense of entertainment. How hard is it to do this job? Let's talk to the ones who do it. This is Matt Spiegel. My new podcast, The PBP, Voices of Baseball, will bring those conversations to you as the best working and former broadcasters tell you why and how they do it. New episodes come every Thursday all summer long. Follow The PBP, Voices of Baseball, on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
74 yards on 13 carries, and he gets it again. Pitches it back to Derek Carr. Looking downfield for Devontae Adams. In stride at the five. Touchdown, Raiders.
And that's even more glorious.
Again.
That's even more glorious.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Devontae Adams leaves the Packers after the 21 season. Aaron Rodgers leaves the Packers after the 22 season. Who's going bums. Next? All bums. Devonte Adams is now a Raider on the Raiders radio network. Now he's got a new quarterback. Oh my gosh, his third different quarterback in 3 years. Now, Devonte Adams is still Devonte Adams and still kicks a double curvy roads, but that's a lot to adjust to, though. You go from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr to, wait, who started at the end of the year? Was it Jared? Who was it at the end of the, was it Jared Stidham who started at the end of the year when the Raiders booted Derek Carr out of the facilities? And now it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo.
Let's go, Raider Nation. Fresh year. Let's go get it.
Let's go get it. Three quarterbacks, 3 years. We'll have to chart where his numbers go from here. But for different reasons, I bring up Devonte Adams. I love his wisdom as he was speaking to NFL Total Access over the weekend. He was talking about Josh Jacobs, who, of course, is planning to hold out since he has not signed his franchise tender and does not have the long-term deal at running back. Between he and Saquon Barkley, the entire league is talking about the plight of running backs. And so Devonte Adams wants to be a good teammate, of course. And he just went through his own business situation last year where he waited and waited. The Packers had offered him a contract for more money than what he ended up with in Las Vegas. But he really wanted to play with Derek Carr. That was short-lived. Anyway, Devonte just went through his own business situation where he's waiting and he had a particular outcome he wanted, but he had to be patient and the Packers worked with him. So he understands what Jacobs and these other running backs are going through, but also there's a personal aspect to it as well. I mean, it's business, but
my role is still to put the ball in the end zone and to do it a lot of times and to be out there and help my teammates grow for sure. But for me, it's helping and providing that counsel to anybody. I mean, whether it's other guys in the league, my teammates, obviously Josh in this moment, because this is not an easy time to go through. You know, you go from dealing with a team that you loved and you want to be a part of for your whole career. And then when it's the business time, this is always when it kind of gets awkward. It's kind of like, you know, when it's time to talk about a prenup with your lady, you know, it's something that you never want to get to. But once you get through it, you know, you could just kind of put it to bed and everybody can carry on with their business. So I'm hoping that's what happens, like I said, so that we can, you know, just kind of put everything behind us and start focusing on what's to come.
All right. First of all, Devonte Adams, great wisdom there. I really appreciate the fact that he said, yeah, my job is to put the ball in the end zone. As football players, as offensive players, we're out there with a job to do. But I don't want to ignore the fact that I've got teammates that I can help, that I can counsel, that I can offer wisdom to. Not that different than when I try to mentor young broadcasters, especially young female broadcasters who are walking into a tough industry. So I really, really can relate to that with Devonte. Yes, I have a job to do, but I also want to help make the road easier if I can for young people who are coming up behind me, especially young women. Now, can we get to the prenup part? Is a prenup just for rich people? Manny, you and your girlfriend are now living together. I'm not saying that you're working on marriage plans, but
30-year anniversary as of 3 hours ago.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Isn't that sweet?
Nice.
I'm approaching 5 months.
If there you that, go.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, so prenups. Yeah. If you're not rich and you have no money, do you need a prenup?
That's a good question. That's a question that hasn't crossed my mind
yet.
Yeah,
me neither, because I have no money, and why would I need a prenup?
We'll probably have to ask all the married people that are in the building right now. So.
No. It would be people who are getting married at some point, right?
Well, we got to see if these people who don't make a lot of money in the newsroom, those that are married, see if they got a prenup.
There's
Again,
no
it's a,
way.
If it's only for
I
rich
would
people.
I bet all of what I'm worth that Marco Belletti and his wife do not have a prenup. Marco would scoff at that because he'd be like, well, I don't have anything.
Should we ask?
Yes.
We should ask.
I'll
ask him.
You should page. Do we page people in this business?
Page?
Page people?
What year is it?
No, I mean page over the loudspeakers page. You know, every now and then you hear the security guards downstairs and they've got an announcement about a fire drill or something. And so they go on the loudspeaker and it's in every room on every floor of this building.
Amy Lawrence to the principal's office. Amy Lawrence to the principal's
office. That never happened. No, my mother would kick me out because I
was talking too much in class, though. She was my math teacher in high school.
Too talkative in class?
Yeah. Shocker, right? It's a shocker. So prenups. I feel like if you don't have anything to lose, really, then what do you care? It's almost like planning to get divorced, no?
Yeah, it kind of is. Kind of is that pessimistic. And I never really put it together like that. But when you say it like that, Amy.
When I get married, I'm never getting divorced. He's stuck with me for life, whether he likes it or not. So does that sound very fatal attraction of me?
No, not at all.
Thanks, I think it's Manny. Romantic.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate that.
I second that.
So, Jay, prenup, no prenup. You wouldn't want a prenup because whoever you marry is going to make more money than you.
Probably.
Oh, dear. You work in radio, too. What are you talking about?
I know, but still, that's oh, man. I feel that, but.
Is it such a terrible travesty if the female makes more money than you?
No, not at all. Oh. I just wish I had, you know, a salary, but I digress.
Need a salary. We do this job because we love it.
Sure.
For the love of the gig.
Sure.
The love of the gig.
Because love, I'll go ahead and write a check for love to my landlord, see if he accepts
speaking
that.
Speaking of love, isn't that the whole idea behind prenups? We don't need prenups.
Well, evidently not, because we're planning for a divorce if we get a prenup.
We need love.
Ain't too much love to be spread around.
I'm not super romantic. I do love a romantic dude. I'm not super romantic, but I kind of still feel like prenups are planning for
divorce.
It's right for divorce. It's fatalistic.
I'm reading a little more about it.
You're reading it? You Googled prenuptial agreements?
Yeah, you know, get a little more details on the benefits or not benefits.
Jay! And Jay loves Google.
The benefits. Do they get like 25% off at a dealership or something?
So, just me personally, I don't have any student debt. Luckily, amazingly, I don't. Ooh. But someone who might have a lot of like student debt, I can accrue that if I don't get a...
It would affect your credit.
Yes. So, I don't want that.
Oh, so you would have a prenup now because you don't have any student debt?
Maybe. See, that's why
so
you got to Google it.
So even if she does make more money than you and has a plan for paying off her student debt, you don't want her debt.
I don't want to inherit that.
Well, she probably doesn't want your low salary either.
I don't have any debt.
Low debt.
That's because you live at home. How can you have debt when you live at home?
Well, I mean, I still could have had student loan debt or car debt or any sort of thing that I've taken out, but no, I'm debt free.
You hear that, ladies?
I am above the red.
He's a catch.
Botch
is right. Debt-free.
Botch is debt-free.
He's going to move right out of his own house into your place.
I'm coming.
Manny, can you see the benefit of that? I paid off my student loan debt, so I don't have any either, but what else? What are the other benefits, Jay?
I don't have any debt.
That's the main one that I see here.
That's the
biggie.
So it's not about taking what doesn't belong to you. It's about not... sharing what doesn't belong to you.
It's also about not getting caught by the IRS.
Uh-huh.
Other than it can just alleviate general anxiety. Like it says, just a mentally just a good thing.
Really?
If you're worried
about
it.
A prenup can alleviate anxiety.
Yeah.
Huh. See, I guess maybe I am more romantic than I thought because I assume when I get married that everything I have is his and everything he has is mine. No? Is that so 1950 of me?
No, I don't think it's 1950 of you, but like...
Are you planning on combining your finances when you get married?
Ah, oh, man. I mean, again, the difference in the money that she makes and I make is quite astounding, so I won't really be chipping much into that savings account.
Sure you will. Well, you can do handyman projects around the house.
I stink at that.
Oh, you could take out the trash.
I can do that.
You can walk the dog.
Once we get one, I will
when
certainly
you get a
do
dog,
that. I'll walk all of them.
You can be Mr. Mom when you have kids.
I could stay at the house.
See?
Oh,
there's all kinds of ways that you can chip in. Jay, oh my gosh.
Oh, I'm in.
Again, what are we talking about here? Such a catch, you two. You're both like over the... I can't believe you're still single.
Do you want to hear a con that they have listed here?
I can think of a few, but yes, go ahead.
It might be a romance killer.
Oh,
that's
really?
They have listed as a con.
I guess I'm the only person then who plans on combining finances when I get married. I just kind of thought that was, I guess I was raised differently or I don't know.
I always thought that I was kind of just assumed.
Is it? Oh, see,
of,
I'm not the only one.
I don't know. I kind of assumed that too. I mean, for right now, at the stage that I'm in my life, what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine is basically just like the snacks that we get, like the cashews that we get at Trader Joe's. Absolutely delicious.
That's it. It's the cashews
it's
in
the house.
The
cashews.
Not any other food, just the
creamer.
Cashews.
Coffee creamer.
Coffee creamer. I say don't touch my coffee creamer. Get your own damn creamer. That's mine. I mean, I'd rather share my money with you than my coffee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. No, coffee's fairly sacred. The good news is, though, at least the current significant other, he does not like my coffee and I do not like his, so we're good.
How's that?
Well, because he drinks it hot and black, and I only drink iced coffee, and I do not drink it black.
Yeah.
So right now, there's no chance that we would be taking each other's coffee.
I don't discriminate when it comes to coffee, hot or cold, but I need to have some milk in my coffee.
Could you imagine a prenup that had to do with coffee?
Coffee.
Coffee.
Coffee grounds.
What about the family jewels? No, like the actual jewels. Sorry, not those jewels. Mm. The actual jewels. Like the jewels you wear. Never mind. Let's scratch that from the record. Can we take that out of the podcast, please?
Protect my crown jewels?
Yeah, that's not what I meant. Never mind. We're not going to answer that. Let's consider that question rhetorical, shall we? All right.
LeBron needs a prenup.
Who gets the dog seems to be a pretty tough question, though. A lot of times, and this is my experience with friends, but also you hear about it and the news and stuff, people fight over the animals, or they have the hardest time deciding who gets custody of the pets.
As a 26-year-old, I can completely understand that. I think that deciding who gets the pet is tougher than deciding who gets the kid.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have a kid?
No.
Then how do you know that?
I don't have a dog either, but I mean, I know for a fact that I'll probably love the dog a little bit more than the kid. I love dogs.
All right. And on that note,
I have my priorities in order. Don't worry.
Yet another reason why Manny is a catch. You two. I mean, between the two of you, I'm blown away by the catchiness in here.
I think I'd keep my child over a dog if it
you
came
think?
Down to it. But
you think?
Yeah.
Nah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Glad I'm not marrying either one of you. You sound so sure. All right. On that note, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's an edumacation with Jay and Manny.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It's what you hearing. Listen. It's what you hearing. Listen. It's what you hearing. Listen. X gon' give it to you. Wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to you. Knock, knock. Open up the door. It's real. With the nonstop. Stainless steel. So first we gonna rock, then we gonna roll, then we let it pop, don't let it go. What? X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. First we gonna rock.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Do you think this is the new theme song for X? Who is this? I like this.
This is DMX.
Oh, well. Why'd I even ask? That makes sense. I like it. I might have to add that to my playlist on Spotify.
That's a good running one for you.
Yeah. What's the name of the song?
X gonna give it to you.
X gonna give it. It's very original. X gonna give it to you. You think Elon Musk is already attempting to commandeer that music for his new X launch?
If he came out with like a commercial or an ad promoting X, the new site, with that on it, that might sway me a little bit.
You think?
A little, at least
just because DMX is cool.
Yeah.
Well, because the song is sweet.
The song's catchy.
And I'm
it's
writing
cool.
it down. Can you text it to me?
Yeah, I got you.
All right. Well, we'll see if this has got more staying power than Threads. Throw up the X. It's definitely catchier than Threads. Threads makes me think of sewing, which I'm not a huge fan of.
I think it could be the greatest thing to happen to Threads, if anything.
You think?
Because people are going to get mad at X now and just be like, oh, well, I don't want
this. Another mass exodus to Threads, only to have it die down a week later.
An exodus.
It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Thank goodness we exist. We exist outside of social media. Some would say barely, but Steve is listening in Nebraska. Welcome to the show. Hi, Steve.
Hey, got a slam dunk for you.
A slam dunk. Okay, I like it.
X-lax.
X-lax?
Bird droppings.
Ew, bird droppings.
Or, you know, pick something else.
No, I like the bird droppings.
And, hey, you're not going to be able to play all that song DMX's.
No? How come?
I got a few expletives in there.
Oh, well, that's Producer Jay's department. I don't care.
There you go.
We have a dump button for that very thing.
Like the show.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Steve. We're good to have you with us.
You bet. Bye.
Thank you. For the X-Lax, X marks the spot for the X-Lax. I just, it's exhausting, except now every word I say that has an X in it. In fact, on Tuesday morning, as I play my daily round of Wordle, I think I'll use a word with an X in it just for fun. Actually, I'll try it right now. Extra. I'm going to try it with extra as the starting word. Do you think that Wordle will have taken some type of a page out of... I can't figure out if Wordle ever does current events or not. I don't really think they have any type of...
I didn't know you still played.
I do. I get mad at myself sometimes because I forget to play and I lose my streak. Let's see if extra is the word.
Are you on a winning streak?
No, I forgot. Saturday on the way to the beach, I forgot to play. Right. No, it's not extra, in case you're wondering. I bet it's not tweet either, since now Elon wants to make that obsolete. I still am going to call it Twitter as long as I am humanly able. By the way, good to hear we're on the air in Chicago. AM 670, The Score. I know that it is hit or miss sometimes, but Rick let us know. He's pretty excited about having us on the air then, and he's hoping it's a long time run. My greetings, as always, to the boss there in Chicago, Mitch Rosen. Always been very supportive and has allowed me to do shows there before at The Score, so we're glad to have you with us. If you want to find us on whatever it's called, maybe I'll just say A-Law Radio and people can figure it out. Actually, did you know you can go to Facebook and search A-Law Radio and our site pops up? Weirdly enough, yeah, they also do ads. I think it was, again, Mark Zuckerberg's attempt to find some way to pilfer it and poach from Twitter. And now here's Elon Musk attempting to do the same thing, only going the other direction, trying to create a whole X-verse. Exit verse. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.